I'm sitting here in the studio all by myself with Brad being in London, and it's great to have all the guests line up as per usual. Brad making sure that everything is ready in the program. On the other side of the line, as per usual, the people of Cliffdekker Hofmeyr, and today it's Samiksha Singh. Welcome to you, Samiksha.
Morning, Wanda, and welcome to the listeners.
Yes, it's an interesting topic this morning, something that have raised many, many questions. It's probationary employees. When I look at the probation issue, it seems like it's something where there's a lot of misunderstanding. And maybe you could just help us with a bit of a definition.
So probationary employees have their employment conditional to the successful completion of a probationary period. Mm-hmm. The employer generally sets a probationary period that is considered sufficient time to evaluate whether or not the employee is able to perform some of the critical responsibilities of the position. And it can range anything from 3 months to 6 months, dependent on the employer.
Now, obviously, when we look at this, is this something that needs to be implemented? Is it a sort of a given at all companies, or how does this work?
So it's not obligatory for all contracts of employment to set out a probationary period. Mm. If one is set, it must be clearly communicated to the employee at the point in time which the position is actually being discussed. I would prefer that employers inform employees at the point in time when they are making an offer to the employee, just to inform them that the position would be subject to a successful completion of a probationary period, and it must be set out in the contract of employment which both parties sign. But it doesn't stop there. There's an obligation on the employer to inform the employee of the various requirements to be achieved by the employee during the probationary period. And it would be preferable for the employer to have consistent engagement with the employee, set out particular goals which the employee should achieve, and key performance areas which will be evaluated during the probationary period. So that, number one, the employee is well aware as to the specific detail of what is required of him or her at the commencement of employment. And secondly, it's also important to engage with the employee, if not on a weekly basis, at least on a bi-weekly basis. And that's even more so important when you have a short probationary period, such as 3 months, so that during the period, the employee is aware of what he or she needs to do and the scope of performance required, and receives the necessary engagement and evaluation from the employer. This is important because when you get to the end of the probationary period, and when the employer determines whether or not the employee has met the standard required and chooses to dismiss during the probationary period, then at least the employee is aware whether he or she did not meet the required standard. And just to add, because it's very important, and a lot of employers misunderstand the effect of a probationary period, it's not an option available to employers just simply to fill the gap of an employee over a probationary period, so as to just at the end of the month, end of the probationary period, indicate to the employee your employment is not being confirmed and therefore you are being dismissed. It's important to follow a fair process and to have clarity as to whether or not the employee has met the required standard of an employee in that position. So consistent engagement, meetings should be convened. And in fact, one should go as far as having minutes of the meeting and reports whether it be, you know, on an email at the very least, to indicate to the employee what he or she did not achieve. And at the end of the probationary period, one could either, in consultation with the employee, agree to extend the probationary period and set out reasons why it is necessary. Perhaps there are certain critical responsibilities that the employee may not have had sufficient time to fully understand and perform in terms of, or to on the view that the employee could reach the required standard if provided with additional time to do so. And so your options at the end of the probationary period is one, to either extend the period, and that must be done in consultation and with reasons to the employee, or alternatively, if there seems to be no scope for improvement and that the employee will not be able to carry out his or her basic functions, then a meeting should be convened with the employee to explain the reasons as to why the employment is not being confirmed, and to give the employee an opportunity to respond. It's all under the, you know, the principle of a fair hearing and one for fair reason before the employee is dismissed during the probationary period.
Now, Samiksha, the employer must be able to show that the above procedure of evaluation, what you've mentioned, and the counseling and the guidance and the training, that all of this has taken place and that the employee has been given a reasonable opportunity to state his case and to state what he thinks is the cause of the problem. This is when they decide to, at the end of the probation period, to let this person go. Now, is this something that all employers are aware of, or as you say, do you find that a lot of cases come to your desk because of employers taking a fat chance and saying, well, this is cheap labor, let's have this person for 3 months as a Good Friday almost, and then after that we decide to let the person go? These are important keys that the employer should know about.
Yes, it's important for employers to be aware. Most of the employers that we deal with are aware of the requirements of both probationary periods and poor performance processes. And there is generally a deep understanding that, you know, your probationary period is not the license to fire after the end of 3 months or 6 months. But it's important just to understand the requirements, that you don't just simply at the end of the 3 months decide to dismiss the employee. You must have solid grounds, and the only way in which to build up those solid grounds are to ensure that at the outset the employee understands the scope of the probationary period, what is required of him or her, and that there is constant evaluation with the direct manager or supervisor to engage with the employee as to what he or she is doing and how they are performing and whether or not they're achieving those particular requirements during their probationary period, so that there is evaluation. You won't want to, as an employee, be surprised at the end of your probationary period when you're suddenly told you're not performing in accordance with the standard that is required, or you have not met the basic requirements for the position. And if it's done in that way, then an employee will have a legitimate ground for a referral of an unfair dismissal to the bargaining council or CCMA. So therefore, it's critically important that employers have that engagement with employees during the probationary period.
Now, we're talking about performance, but there are other cases where we find that they would sort of say the employee doesn't fit in, or the employee has committed misconduct, or the employer wants to make space for somebody else and they do not like the employee's face, for you know, so to speak. So this does happen. It's not just about performance. It's also about, does the person fit in? Do I really like the person? Is the person who they sort of pretended to be during the interview? Does that also happen? And how are we protected against that?
So So your employment contract should have a clause whereby the employer is entitled to dismiss the employee at any stage for any reason valid in law.
Okay.
Again, this is not simply a license to fire. Our Labor Relations Act requires that dismissals be both procedurally and substantively fair. Procedure, i.e., you must give them an opportunity to understand the reasons that may lead to the dismissal and give them sufficient time to respond.
Right.
The substantive fairness aspect is where there must be a fair reason. So the reason for the dismissal must be fair and the employee must understood and have committed the act that has led to that reason for dismissal. So there could be circumstances where the employee has engaged in misconduct, either in the form of dishonesty or gross negligence, which would provide substantial grounds for dismissal.
Yeah.
But again, that won't fall under the probationary ground for dismissal, because the reason is not that the employee could not achieve the requirements during the probationary period, but rather, for instance, an act of misconduct. Again, the employee must be informed of the allegations and provided an opportunity to respond, and that the reason for the dismissal or the reason of the offense that may lead to dismissal must be fair and must be sufficiently serious to validate a dismissal.
Sure.
So whatever ground the employer may choose to dismiss an employee must be based on a substantively fair basis, i.e. the reason must be fair, and it must be sufficiently serious to warrant a dismissal.
Well, that's clear. You've got it there. We could talk about this for hours, but Samiksha, thank you so much for your advice. Samiksha Singh, she's from the Labour. She's speaking about labour issues from Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Great to have you, and have a safe journey on the wet roads.
Thank you very much, Wanda, and a wonderful week to everyone. I must say I am enjoying the rain.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, last year this time it didn't look as pretty as it looks now. So it's awesome that we're having rain. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks on the road to everyone.
Yes, have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.